Happy Mother's Day, Bridge City Church, in all four locations. Let's put our hands together and cheer on every mom present. Come on, way to go. Happy Mom's Day. What a joyful day this is. And so excited to be with you in this format. One church hearing one message here. Hey, Mom's Day and Dad's Day are so very different. Mother's Day, it's all about like, hey, bright color flowers, loving, encouraging. And then a month from now, we're going to have Father's Day, and it's very, very different. I mean, it's going to be like black shirts, skull, crossbones, like suck it up, do better, rub dirt on it, get back in the game, come on. But today's Mother's Day, and today is all about parenting. And in parenting, I don't know if you know this or not, parenting and marriage is difficult in the day and age in which we live right now here. So unfortunately, Mother's Day can be a real downer for people, especially ladies. Some women maybe are here and you're saying, man, I thought I would have kids by now and I don't, or I thought I'd be further along by now. And maybe some people listening today, maybe you're missing your mom. Maybe mom has gone on to heaven and there's maybe some angst there. But unfortunately, most moms of even kids and students and even adult children, Mother's Day is not a great day. It's more of a downer. It's more of a representation of what you didn't do and who you're not. And I wanna hit reset today. I wanna hit reboot. I think we need a fresh start. Everybody out loud say fresh start. Now say new normal. That's right. We need a fresh start. And we need a new normal. And rather than look at what the past, why don't we look forward with a fresh start in our parenting? What does it mean and what does it take to parent in our day and age? And it's difficult. As a matter of fact, preparing for this, Natalie and I have all adult children. And so it's very different now. And so I dove in. I did the best I could in understanding our culture and understanding what's going on in culture today to understand parenting. But we all need a fresh start with God right now when it comes to understanding the next generation here. Great families are not just going to happen. We're going to have to fight for it. That's right. We are going to have to fight for it. And I want to launch today reading one verse to you out of Nehemiah. God's people were rebuilding Jerusalem, a very significant place for God's people in rebuilding walls. Walls represent protection. Walls represent keeping the enemy out. And that's what we're trying to do with our families and with the next generation here at Bridge City Church. And so right in the middle of opposition, some opposition comes from within, some from without, ridicule, making fun of, saying you'll never achieve. Look what the writer writes here, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. Then, as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people. Come on now, if you're a noble or rest of the people, raise your hand. That's right, you got to be one of those here. And of the people, and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. That's right. So we have to remember God's goodness. He's glorious. He is great here. So remember him and don't be afraid of the enemy. What's our number one enemy? Our number one enemy is the culture in which we live right now. We live in a crazy, jacked up culture here. But I want to let you know too that your children are not your enemies. No, don't fear any enemy here, because remember how glorious God is. Don't be afraid of them. Why shouldn't we be afraid of them? Because this is a key point here. Remember this: God's solution to a broken world is found in the terminology called family. That's right, God's solution. He puts the solitude in families. We are the family of God. The concept of family is so vitally important here today. And remember that God's with you. God's for you. As a matter of fact, we have a great gift for ladies today. And a great gift. And on it here says, I am with you always. That's Jesus' words. I'm with you always. And I think for all the ladies in all of our church right now, need to remember how much God is with you. God has not forsaken you. God has, even though maybe in the past, maybe you have yelled too much or maybe you've been too disappointed. I know with me in parenting, I'm just going to speak to with me right now, is that it would be very easy to look at my adult children and allow them to determine my worth. But I am not going to allow the enemy to rob me of the great memories of baptism, of missions trips, of their character, of formation, and all the joys of their childhood be destroyed just because of where they are right now. Just because this is where they are right now will not determine my worth. I am still going to pursue the enemy and not allow the enemy to destroy who I am. Now, when it comes to fighting for brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, and even the connotation in the Hebrew right here with sons and daughters speaks to grandchildren. So all the grandparents out there, I'm giving a shout out to you. Okay, we're still in the fight. You got to fight. And now I'm just going to say this. Women know how to fight for their children. They do. I mean, like if you really want to see a mom, like you really want to see a true fight with an enemy, you need to realize that you need to see a mom that one of her children are in danger. Yeah. My best illustration of this, years ago, we took a family trip to Disney. And it was the one and only time we went to Disney World. And so we went to Disney World for the day. Somebody blessed us with free admission for the day. Thank you, Jesus in heaven, for that. And then I got a hotel. Now I was trying to save money on the hotel, so it wasn't the best of hotels, and it wasn't in the best area. And so it wasn't in the Disney Resort. I mean, we didn't have Disney Resort money. We didn't even have Orlando money. We had like suburbs of Orlando money. And so we pull up to this hotel. It was about 12:30, almost 1 o'clock in the morning. And we pull up and four kids are sleeping. Our oldest son's awake. And my wife goes into the hotel. When we pulled up, it was like, this is not the place we want to have our children. I'm not even sure I want to stay here with just the people standing outside. And so my wife goes in. I can see her from the van. I'm in the van. She goes in. And I can tell things aren't looking good. She comes out and she states, we were supposed to have joining rooms, but they didn't have that for us. And so we were going to be apart. So that means either Natalie and I were going to have different rooms with kids, or our kids are going to have to be apart from us. And I could just tell this was not acceptable. So we talked about it in the van for a few minutes. And then she said she was going inside to take care of it. And so she gets out of the van. And again, my son and I were watching. He sticks his head up in between the two seats in the van. And he said, Dad, do you think we should go in and help her? And by the way, my wife was walking into the hotel, I literally said, I think she got this. I think she has this. Okay. And so we just waited. We watched. We could tell there was a confrontation going on. She comes back to the van. She didn't just get a discount. She didn't just get adjoining rooms. She didn't get a free breakfast coupon. She came back with we weren't going to stay here. We were going to stay across a little bit of ways away, across the four-lane highway here to a brand new hotel, adjoining rooms. It had a pool and it had free breakfast in the morning. Come on, somebody. Not only that, it was all going to be free. So we went from staying to this place that had none of those things to a much nicer place. This is what happens when a mom puts her mind that something's going to happen to protect her family. We're going to have to fight for it. Now, before I get into my points today, I want to let you know there is no such thing as a perfect family. As a matter of fact, family is less about perfect and it's more about purpose. As a matter of fact, check this out. The Bible has a lot more illustrations of dysfunctional families than it does of families having it all together. As a matter of fact, in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, there's more stories about dysfunctional families in that book than almost any other. I can't say any other, but almost any other, because there's a lot of genealogies that happen in different books here. But I mean, to start off, Adam and Eve, they're lying, they're blaming, they're caught by God. And then you have Cain and Abel, you've got murder going on. And I mean, then you have the story of Joseph, more lying, more deceit, selling brothers off. I mean, it's crazy what goes on here. And so if you're looking for perfect, you're not going to find it. Oh, you're not going to find it at all here. But what we're going to find is good examples of how we can live for God with purpose here. And how we can move. So I'm going to give you a whole bunch of quotes on family. One of these you're going to want to put on your refrigerator at home. Or one of these you're probably going to text to somebody in a little bit here. Let's just look to see if I can find your family in one of these quotes here. Family, where life begins and love never ends. I mean, there's a Mother's Day quote right there. Come on, that's a good one. Family is the heart of a home where love and memories are made. Now, there's another good one. You might want to send that off to somebody here today. Now, this next one, this is my favorite. This is my favorite. I love this one. Family, a little bit of crazy, a little bit of loud, and a whole lot of love. I just love that one. Oh, my goodness. Take that one home with you here. Or how about this one? Family, the good, the bad, and the ugly live here. Family, where real life meets the next generation. Family, where values, purpose, and character are found. In one of those quotes, you're going to find you. And you're going to find something you want to put at home. Hang it up in your home here. Encourage somebody with that. You see, when I think of family, I think of great things. I think of unconditional love, loyalty, faithfulness, the people who believe the best in me and pull out the best in me, people who defend me, who have my back and I have their back. That's the way I grew up. I grew up with a great concept of authority because of the family that I grew up in. Love with the tension of authority and those truth, those two things. Unfortunately, many people, even watching today and listening, you grew up with a dysfunctional family. You grew up with like chaos and crazy. And I want to tell you today that we can change all that here. So let's start with a fresh start, a new perspective of who God is and what He thinks of family in 2025. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. Now remember, the big idea is what you're going to remember later on today or next week. You're going to remember these. You're going to want to write these down because I'm going to try to be as practical as I can right now in helping each and every one of us live these values in our lives. So here's the big idea. A fresh start with family will celebrate. What are we going to celebrate? A commitment to godly values, correction, not criticized, and character over performance. Those are the three big ideas I want to reveal to you, and I want to help you here today. So the first one here. So we're going to celebrate this. We're going to celebrate a commitment to godly values. I want to let you know that the Bible still works. It's not outdated. The Bible still is important. The Bible still has the values and has the basis by which we can put our lives and live for Him here. So we got to establish godly values. Values, bottom line with values, who we are going to be and what we're going to do. Who we're going to be, what we're going to do. That is values here. Now let's not make it overcomplicated. Let's look at the first two commandments in Exodus chapter 20. The first one is you shall have no other gods before me. The first value that we have is that we're going to have no other gods. There's only one God, and that's who we live for. That's how we do. We're gonna settle who we're going to be tomorrow. That's what we're going to settle. Who are we going to be tomorrow? You see, what we need is we need a purpose. We need a target. Because if we don't have a target, we could hit anything and say that's good enough. Now, I want to read to you, and I'm not telling you, you should have the same purpose that Natalie and I had, but you need to have clear values of what you stand for. So these are the original ones we wrote well over 30 years ago for our children. Our children will grow to be mature adults. See, we weren't growing kids, we were growing adults. Big, big difference there. Able to hear the voice of God and act on it promptly. Living a life of dedication, purity, devotion, and holiness. And also serving the next generation. See, maturity is defined for Natalie and I by our children growing up to be adults who care about others, who serve others here. That's what we had. That our home will be known as a household of faith. A place of refuge, a place where godliness and purity are valued, a place where growth spiritually, emotionally, and physically are esteemed. I'm urging you to clarify your values, clarify what you're going to stand for, have a target, and then commit to those values, similar to what Deuteronomy 6, the Lord your God alone, remember there's one God, have no other gods. You must love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these godly values here. Now, the second commandment, that you shouldn't have any idols before God. That means nothing stands before you and God. Now, unfortunately, we live in a day and age in which children can become idols. Yeah, living, breathing, action-oriented, functioning idols in our homes. No, children cannot be idols that stand between you and God. They need to know God. There's only one God, and we can't have anything before Him. Now, as a church, just like in your home here, this is it right here. We want kids and students to want to come to church, not because things are so bad at home, but because things are great at home, and then they come to church. It's a place where God knows, and they are known. So in your home, God knows, they are known. In church, the same way. Then God sees, they are affirmed of who they are in Christ. There's an affirmation here. So God knows, and He sees, and God cares here. They are created by God on purpose with a purpose. So God knows, He sees, He cares, marks our home. Those are our values here. We were created by God and created for God. Big difference here. So, overwhelmed parents with too many values, and I'm going to say this over and over here, we need to put our phones down. We need to stop with the phones. Like you can't have the value that kids are important and be glued to your phone for hours and hours and hours a day. Study after study, Christian and secular, are proving the same thing right now. They're telling the same story. Put your phone down and stop handing your kids a device to entertain them. Now, I know I'm sounding old. I'm sounding like the baby boomer that I am. I get it. But I'm challenging you in your value system to go and look at study after study after study, what it's doing to the next generation here and how it's affecting them. So what should we celebrate? Godly values here. We should celebrate that they're respectful. We should celebrate the godly value of gratitude. Gratitude is an attitude. I'm going to keep saying this. It's the number one attitude that we see in children that's the most attractive when they're thankful, when they're respectful here. We wonder why kids are entitled. It's because of phones. It's because of the system we live in here. We are treating God like He's Amazon Prime. Here, we can have whatever we want, and we want it now. Yes, I want blue, I want size medium, I want short sleeve, and I want it today. And we're getting it today. It's amazing to me. And so we're treating God like Amazon Prime with values, but values take time. And we need to be committed to this over time. We're training children and we're training a generation that to think of God like Amazon Prime. And if he doesn't give me what I want, instant gratification here, then he's not a God worth following. Let's check our value system right now, and let's really, really celebrate godly values. But you have to write them down, be clear on your target here. A fresh start with God will celebrate not only a commitment to godly values, but it's going to celebrate correction, not criticism. Correction, not criticism. Correction is putting it right. That means we're going to make it right. So correction can sound like you're old enough not to act like this. So let's go back and pick up what you just dumped on the floor or what you didn't do. That's correction. We're going to make it right. Correction is you know that you shouldn't bully or say those things about other children the way you did. We're going to go back and talk with them and make it right. Criticism is just pointing it out. You're wrong. You're no good. Criticizing what they do without the chance of making it right. And so we have to be careful in parenting. We have to be careful even in church that we're not just pointing out what's wrong, but we're helping make it right. You see, there's a difference between correction and criticism. And then there's also a big difference in contempt. Contempt is this. Contempt isn't just being critical, but it's downgrading others to elevate yourself here. Listen, this is what it is. Contempt in a marriage is saying, I'm better than you. I'm better than you because I do this. Contempt in a marriage is a marriage killer, actually. And unfortunately, this is what we see in so many marriages filled with contempt, just putting down others. I'm better. I do it better. I think better. I'm a multitasker better. And so we have contempt going on, but we don't have correction, which helps us make things right. We have criticism, just pointing out what's wrong. And then if criticism goes on, it goes into contempt here. So we have to give words of affirmation to help children overcome, but not let them off the hook. Well, they're just kids. They can't do that. They're just kids. They don't know any better. They're just kids. I mean, when does that stop? Does that stop in their 20s? Does that stop in their 30s? Does it stop at 15? When are they no longer kids? Start treating them with an eye to the future and settle what tomorrow should look like here. Now, we fail to correct because of, I'm just going to list two reasons why we fail to correct. Number one is fear-based parenting. Yes, fear-based parenting is I'm afraid of judgment. I'm afraid of what others will think. I'm afraid, like, I just got pride. All these things are fear-based here. I can't say anything. I can't correct. And what this is parents who want the approval of their kids. We got to stop wanting approval of our kids. We should want approval of God. What does God think at the end of the day? That's what matters. What does God think? Yes, in my past as a parent, there's a lot of things I could have done better. But you know what? Overall, I knew I had a good heart. I knew that it came out right. Was it perfect? No. But was it God-honoring? Yes. And I will not allow the enemy to torment me and torture me the rest of my life for a few things in the past. I'm going to move forward, not in fear, not in approval, or not wanting my children. And listen, parents of young kids, stop wanting your kids to be your friend. They're not meant to be your friend. They're your children. You're the parent. Now, so here's the question. When does your children get to be your friends? I'm going to tell you my answer here. Now, it happens to me in their late 20s. Late 20s? I thought it was early 20s, Pastor. That's what you said before. I did. But culture has changed. Maturity has changed. This is my thought. My thought is this, is that kids right now can stay on your health care as an adult, as the parent, until they're 26. At 26, they got to get their own health care. Well, when they get their own health care, that's when you can become friends because they're not dependent on you anymore. You see, when they're no longer dependent on you, okay, that's when they can no longer be children, but you can move into a friend mode. You can move into a different way here. The other things here is comparisonitis. It's an inflammation of comparing ourselves to everybody and everything else here. We honor God. I am not responsible to parent all the other children. I'm not responsible even to pastor every other church. I'm responsible to pastor this one. I was responsible to raise 5 children into mature adults who will honor God. That was my God-given task here. Now, the most easy way to comparisonitis creeps in is this, and that is with those little stick people on the back of minivans, in SUVs, those little stick people. First of all, have you ever noticed that the mom and dad look skinny? That irritates me, first of all, right there. And then the stick kids look all perfect, and they're on the honor roll, and they're on this roll, and they're on that roll, and they got soccer balls and baseball bats and cheerleading outfits, and they all look so perfect. What about the honor God roll? I never saw that on the back of a minivan, the stick people there and say, my kids honor God. They're on the honor God roll. That's what we should put on there. We're honoring God in this family. Nobody brags about that because we're making the wrong comparisons here. And comparisons come from Google, and they really, really, comparison kills here. Do we have weaknesses? Yes, our kids have weaknesses here. We don't give into it. We don't allow the weaknesses to lead us or guide us. We don't succumb to it. We don't put our head in the sand to pretend like they don't exist. Yes, we have weaknesses, but we've been created by God and for God. We have a commitment to godly values. Celebrate that. We're going to celebrate how things are made right. We're not going to just point out what's wrong. That's the big idea. A fresh start. A fresh start with parenting and raising children celebrates a commitment to godly values, correction, not criticized. Here's our last point here. Character over performance. Character over performance. What should we compliment? What should we compliment? Like we all know the right answer, but we don't say the right answer. We should compliment character, not just performance. We should compliment not just the A on the report card, but the diligence that went into it. Just as much if you have a C student that fights for C's and they're doing everything they can to learn, we should celebrate the diligence of that, not just the performance of that here. The reason we're not celebrating character, we're celebrating performance, because the over-busyness of our lives. That's right. We have busyness. We have things cramming us. Listen, I'm going to keep bringing it up. The cell phone's driving our lives. It is driving us here, and we're overwhelmed with worry and stress. And some of us here, maybe you have parents. You're sandwiched between caring for your children and now caring for an aged parent here. And so you're caring for 2 people in each generation. There's worry, there's stress, and there's careers, and there's job, and there's all these things that are cramming us here. But I want to let you know that character, who you are when nobody else is around, is life-giving. It's changing. It's life-changing. It's what allows us to have relationships that matter. That's right, relationships that matter. It's what allows us to have fulfilling lives because we know who we are. And we're not just going to cheer on performance. We're going to cheer on character. We're going to compliment that. We're going to compliment gratitude, as I said before. We're going to compliment respect. We're going to compliment manners. We're going to compliment those things that help achieve in the long run here. Teachability is the goal, not the performance here. Character is what changes culture. So if we want to raise a generation of world changers, then we got to be willing to raise a generation that has character, honesty, loyalty, faithfulness here, because we live in a world, in a culture that is personality and performance based rather than character. Just recently, there was a man that was supposed to be drafted early in the NFL. And everybody said he was going to be drafted early. Well, he went into the latter rounds here, Shedeur Sanders. And people were making fun of him of that. But one of the things that was noted was that maybe he didn't handle himself great on the front end, but he handled himself great on the backside of it. As a matter of fact, somebody called him. It was a prank phone call, and they pretended like he was going to be drafted early in the draft, which means more money, more performance. And it was a joke played on him. What's interesting to note, when that person got caught and they called, the person's parent made them call and apologize. This is what they said about Shedeur and his father, Dion, that they treated him with respect. They gave them much grace and mercy. That's character. I see, that's what we should applaud. Look, where he should be drafted and by whom, I'm not here to define that. But character is what matters. Character marks our lives here. So we have to reassign what we cheer on. We cheer on character here. Character is intentionally taught in the home. As a matter of fact, when we were raising our children, if you see me do it, it's acceptable. If I laugh at it, it's funny. If I don't, it's not funny. Some of you say, well, that sounds like a dictatorship. No, character. I want to be the same person at home as I am at work or the tennis court or the supermarket or at the bank. No matter where I am, you got the same person. That, my friends, is character. And we got to live it before they catch it. As a matter of fact, we got to teach it. This is, in our family, this is what we do. In our church, this is how we act. That's called character. That's called being clear here. Biblical character is important here. Kids and students need hope, but they need to realize life is not easy. Life is not easy. Life is difficult. That's why we need character to hold us through the times of storms and suffering. And when things don't go right, we are the same people no matter where we are here. Kids are being intrinsically taught that things are easy, instant gratification because of the cell phone. Put them on the iPad. Give them a game to play. Give them a movie to watch. Keep them quiet. No, we got to go back and rethink and have a fresh start with these things here. So together, let's together as a church make a commitment today. Let's make a commitment to celebrate godly values, commitment to godly values. That we're going to have correction over criticism here and character over performance. I believe that we can mark a generation with these 3 points. If you agree with me, put your hands together right now, right where you are in all of our locations. I believe in these 3 points. I believe that God's going to help us do this with all my heart. I believe that. That's the commitment we have here. And there's a lot of other things I could say here, but I'm going to leave you with this. If I could go back and do one thing different, this is what I would do. I would listen longer and answer and not just give the quick answer to questions that our kids ask. I'd wrestle more, because there's going to be a lot of questions kids ask and the whole generation ask about confusion and about culture and about what we believe. Listen more, wrestle more. Find out what we truly believe, our godly values, commit to those, go back to the Ten Commandments and reread those. Listen, that's the commitment we're making, a fresh start. I want to pray for you, and then your campus pastor is going to come forward and close us up today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for every parent and grandparent, every aunt and uncle, Lord God, and every person in the family of God here today. Lord God, I release them with a fresh start, with a blessing from heaven. Lord God, I release Bridge City Church to be the world-changing place for the next generation, Lord God. Lord God, let them, Father, experience you in a great way through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. I turn it over to you.